My name is Carlin Burisenko, and you're listening to the Actively Unwoke podcast. Make sure you head over to my Substack, which is Carlin, carlyn.substack.com, for podcast show notes and other resources that I've created for you to help you understand the language of the far left, the tactics and the mindset of the far left, and explicitly what they're doing to elicit a Marxist cultural revolution in the United States today. And that really is the topic of this podcast, the Marxist cultural revolution. We're seeing it happen right in front of us right now. And we need to talk about what's going on college campuses, because I'm seeing a lot of people online completely miss the point of what is going on college campuses. So let's go back to last week. Last week, the president of Columbia University testified in front of Congress with a couple members of their board of trustees and their anti-Semitism task force. And basically, they were hauled in front of Congress to be brought to task over the anti-Semitism on their campuses with students protesting in favor of Palestine. They call them pro-Hamas protests. Really, they're pro-Palestine protests. And really, it was this whole day of testimony kind of trying to hold the president's feet to the fire to do something to quell the anti-Semitism on campus. Well, at the exact same time as this testimony was happening, the students of Columbia University, which is the most woke college in the country. Sometimes people think it's Harvard or they may think it's Yale. No. Columbia University is the most woke college in the country by far. It is the original home of the Frankfurt School. It is the original home of critical theory. They graduate the worst woke teachers from Teachers College at Columbia that you are going to see in the public K-12 schools. It is ground zero for the Marxist Cultural Revolution. So while the president of Columbia was testifying in front of Congress, a group of students took over a piece of land on campus and created what they called a liberated zone. They're calling this the Gaza Solidarity Encampment. Now, liberated, if you have taken classes on how to speak socialist with me, liberated is a very specific word in the language of socialist, which is not the same as English. It sounds like English, but it's not. It's the language of the far left. What liberated means is to liberate, free oneself from the oppressive force of capitalism, which they explicitly define as private property ownership. When you're talking about liberated zones, autonomous zones, the Solidarity Project where they're taking over the land, what we saw in 2020 with the CHAZ or the CHOP in Seattle where they took over a 3-block radius in the middle of the city, this is all about taking a piece of land that is considered to be private property and liberating it, freeing it from the oppressive force of capitalism, private property ownership, and returning it to the people, the collective. This is why land blessings are a thing. Land blessings are all about acknowledging who the woke left believe are the original owners of the land before it was colonized under the oppressive force of capitalism. So the students at Columbia are creating their own autonomous zone, and the university tried to fight back against it. And what they did was, for the first time since 1968, they called in the NYPD. Now, the NYPD had actually been banned from Columbia's campus since the Vietnam protests in the 60s, and they hadn't been back since. Now, this is a really big deal because there is nothing that the woke left hates more than the police. They consider the police to be the managers of private property. And so you can start to see the problem where you have a very large group of activists taking over and liberating a piece of privatized land on Columbia University's campus. And in response to that, the president is calling in the New York Police Department, who haven't been allowed on campus in decades, to take the land back from the students, and the students believe that the police are the managers of private property to impose the oppressive force of capitalism. And so when the president brought the police onto campus, she actually made the problem significantly worse. Now, I understand why some of you might think that was exactly the right thing to do. Of course, the president should call the police. But when you understand how the left thinks and how they perceive these things, you could have understood that this was going to basically cause a Streisand effect with this protest. And according to reports that I've seen, it essentially quadrupled the size of the protest. So you had what was a relatively small group of students, but when the president of the university brought in the police, it really pissed a lot of people off. And whether you think it was the right move because the police should be allowed to do their jobs, whatever, it doesn't really matter, because what happened is the pissed off college students started texting their friends and calling their friends and posting on their Instagram stories. And all of a sudden, almost overnight, quadrupled the size of the protest on Columbia's campus. Now, one of the things the police did when they came onto campus was they tore down all the tents. So they took away some of the resources that these students had on campus. However, once the size of the protest grew so exponentially so quickly, the students actually forced the administration to let them have the tents back, let them set up their little area. And really now the administration is in a place where it's going to be very difficult for them to do anything about this because of the sheer size of what this has come to because of the missteps of the administration. And the reason that we saw it balloon to this size is because all of the Marxist comrades at Columbia University are acting in solidarity with their other comrades. It's called the Gaza Solidarity Encampment. Remember, the left sees themselves as collectivists. They see themselves as part of a larger Borg. They do not see themselves as individuals. So when they see members of their collective being how they perceive attacked by the evil police, the oppressive enforcers of private property, the enforcers of capitalism, that actually makes their drive and their motivation to stay together and stand against this oppressive force, it makes it even stronger. Now, the more people have gotten involved in this, the more media attention it's gotten, the more social media attention it's gotten, the more videos are flying around. There are all these organizations that are involved. There are protests that are going on outside of Columbia's campus. And now guess what? Over the weekend, we learned that Students for Justice in Palestine, which is a national organization that has chapters on multiple college campuses, are now organizing to expand this protest from Columbia University all to campuses throughout the nation. So we've already seen these protests and these encampments start to pop up at New York University, at Yale University. I even saw one at the New School, which is funny because the New School in New York, they don't actually have, I don't think, a physical campus. So what they did is they actually pitched tents in some of the office buildings. They pitched tents inside to take over the office buildings. One has just popped up at the University of Michigan. And I would bet over the next week, we're going to see a lot more of these solidarity encampments, these liberated zones, these autonomous zones are going to start popping up on college campuses. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because the left has been teed off about the Palestinian issue for months now, since October 7th. And the problem is that people don't understand what is the underlying motive for why they care about this and what they're doing. It's kind of the same confusion that was caused by the whole Queers for Palestine thing. Now, if you watch my almost daily live streams on my YouTube channel, my Rumble channel, my X account, you've probably heard me talk about what Queers for Palestine mean. A lot of people are confused by this. They say, Carlin, why would gay people be in support of Palestine? Because if they go to Palestine, they're just going to throw them off the roof and kill them. Well, first of all, that's not actually true. There are actually gay people in Palestine and they're not getting thrown off roofs right now. So that is just like actually fundamentally false. But the bigger picture is this. Queer is not about being gay or trans. Queer is a far left political ideology that is specifically designed to liberate people from, you guessed it, the oppressive force of capitalism. They refer to it under queer Marxism, queer theory, as heteronormativity, or just normativity. It doesn't even need to be heteronormativity. It could be homonormativity, any type of normativity. Normativity basically means the norms in society. In the case of queer Marxism, what they're trying to do is abolish the gender binary and attack the nuclear family. Both is attacks on capitalism, but what this means is that the gender binary, the fact that there are men and women, the nuclear family, how most people are raised, those are the norms of society. What queer Marxists and queer theorists want to do is disrupt and destabilize everything that is normative in society. Their ultimate goal being to abolish capitalism, which they define as private property ownership. So now we can start to see some parallels. Why would queer people be in favor of Palestine? Because the left perceives that the Palestinian issue is actually not about Jewish people versus Muslim people at all. Has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. It has nothing to do with Islam. It has nothing to do with any of those things. The left believes that the Israelis, in this case, represent the settler colonists. They call them this all the time. Settler colonist means capitalist. A colonist, colonization, colonialism, imperialism. These are all different variations on the same basic idea. There are slight nuances in the words, but they don't matter for our purposes here. All of those words, colonist, colonization, colonialization, imperialism, what they mean is imposing the oppressive force of capitalism on indigenous land by privatizing it. So essentially, what Israel represents to the left has nothing to do with Jewish anything. It has to do with them being representative of the evil capitalist who has privatized indigenous land, that is Gaza, and what they think is that the Palestinians or Hamas are engaging in the glorious revolution to overthrow capitalism. That's what they think it is. To them, the reason you might think they're anti-Semitic is because they're going against Jewish people, right? But it could be any other group of people. What they're trying to do in the minds of the left, and I'm not saying I agree with this, I'm explaining what their perspective is overthrow the evil capitalist colonizers who privatized their land under the oppressive force of capitalism, to remove that force of capitalism and return the land to the indigenous caretakers. So when you're talking about queers for Palestine, what you're having is a group of people who are committed to the idea of abolishing capitalism, acting in solidarity with a different group of people who they perceive to be committed to abolishing capitalism. They have the same goal. They might be disparate groups, but they have the same goal. Now let's take that and apply it to what's going on these college campuses. Because a liberated zone, an autonomous zone, is not about anti-Semitism. It's just not. If you hear them talking about Israel or Zionists or any of these things, they're not saying, we hate Jews. In fact, and this is provable based on social media posts, there are Jewish students involved in these autonomous zones. There were Jewish students just the other day at Columbia holding Shabbat dinner in the autonomous zone, and they were welcome. They were treated perfectly well. The enemy of the left is not the Jews in this case. The enemy of the left are the capitalists, the colonizers, the people who are seeking to privatize the land. This is really important to understand, guys. We are not seeing an anti-Semitic uprising on college campuses. We're seeing a Marxist uprising on college campuses. And if you don't understand the problem that you're dealing with, you can never solve for it. And right now, everyone's screaming anti-Semitism, 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 talking about the rising amount of anti-Semitism, how much anti-Semitism has increased on college campuses. the people that they're calling anti-Semitic don't actually care if someone is Jewish. That is not what the question is. The question is, are they taking indigenous land and privatizing it under the oppressive force of capitalism? Decolonization, contrary to what popular belief seems to be, does not mean violent revolution. Now, it can involve that, and sometimes does in very minor circumstances, but most of the time, decolonization is actually through laws, through policies, through other means to remove the oppressive force of capitalism. The students at Columbia University that set up this autonomous zone, the liberated zone, believe they have decolonized that land. It didn't involve violent revolution in order to do it. It just literally involved taking over the land. The students on the other college campuses believe they are decolonizing the land. They are doing this in solidarity with the Palestinians, who they also perceive to be decolonizing the land. Now, in the case of the Palestinians, that did involve violence, and we need to acknowledge that. I'm not suggesting that October 7th was a good thing. It was not a good thing. That is not what this is about. But you must understand how the left perceives this issue. They do not hate the Jews. They hate the capitalists. If a Jewish person is on the far left and they want to decolonize the privatized land, then that Jewish person will be welcomed with open arms by the left. And every time a politician or an influencer or a commentator or a pundit goes on TV or goes on the internet and says, this is all about anti-Semitism, you've completely missed the point. This is not about anti-Semitism. This is about Marxism. This is the beginning of the summer of love that they have been warning that they're going to do for months and months and months and months and months. You know, we all thought this summer of love before October 7th, we all thought the summer of love was going to be about trans-related issues, because that was what the hot-button topic was at the time. Then October 7th happened, and all of a sudden, Palestine became the biggest tool that they had in their toolbox to mobilize the far left. But the greatest enemy of the far left is not Jewish people. The greatest enemy of these college students is not Jewish people. Anyone saying it's anti-Semitism, 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 that is a distraction. The greatest enemy of the far left is and has always been capitalism, which they define as private property ownership. The autonomous zones on college campuses are about decolonizing the land by removing the oppressive force of capitalism. And the ideology that is underlying all of this is Marxism. The students are winning right now, by the way. The students are in a better position. The students are in the power position. And we're just getting started. It's April. We've got a whole summer ahead of us. Are you ready? Buckle up. That's all I've got for this podcast. I'll see you again soon. Make sure you head over to my Substack, Karlyn, KARLYN.substack.com, if you'd like more information.